This is The Edge with your hosts, Jonathan Von Tobel.
Off and running on a Monday. I am not Jonathan Von Tobel. I am Tim Murray sitting in for JVT. He's a busy man. He was working last night on opening lines here on VSiN. Catch that every Sunday night as we wrap up a very busy day here on the network. So I got the call. Got the call to the bullpen, call in the righty, so I'll be sitting in for JVT today. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about. And honestly, right before we hit the show, I'm all thinking about, okay, how are we going to start this show? Are we going to talk about Sunday Night Football? Are we going to talk about all the injuries that took place? Or the fact that Monday Night Football is here in Las Vegas. It is the opening of Allegiant Stadium in the desert. We all know that. There's a lot of excitement. Fans can't be there, but still, there's no doubt right behind me here at the South Point, all across town, it's going to be wild thinking about the fact that the Las Vegas Raiders have a home game. It's on Monday Night Football. But I'm looking at the board, and as soon as we come on the air, the number drops a full point, and in some spots, a point and a half. You were looking at 5.5. I was talking to producer Aaron Oster prior to the show. Do I want to grab the 5.5? Or, you know, maybe there'll be some public steam up to 6. I'll wait a little bit. And right before the show, I was looking at a first half line thinking, all right, you look at John Gruden scripting plays, the excitement of opening night. Sean Payton, you would likely give him the edge head coaching wise, maybe halftime adjustments. I said, you know what? I'm going to go grab the Raiders +3 in the first half. So I ran over, grabbed that ticket, and as soon as I went to, the juice increased to 3.5 to 130. I said, I still like it. Give me +3 -130 on the Raiders first half. I get all situated, get the sports coat on, look down at the board, and it craters for the game at Circa, at Westgate, to 4. Some other spots like South Point here at 4.5. So a lot to get to here when it comes to this Raiders-Saints game. A ton of excitement there, and we certainly will have a full preview for this as we continue through the day. Some prop bets. I'm not a big prop guy, but there are some intriguing prop bets for this particular game across town and all across the country. So, boy. That took me for a little bit of a curveball right before the show. I'm looking, and the number for the Raiders and Saints game drops a point to 4.5. So if you got it early on, I know earlier in the week, very, very readily available at 6, and I thought that this might jump the other way, but it has dropped to 4.5. Of course, no Michael Thomas in this game, so a lot to unpack when it comes to the Raiders and Saints. But let's get to yesterday. And I was sitting here in studio for Betting Across America, myself, James Salinas, Mike Sinnott, and we're keeping eyes on all of these games. 10 games in the 1 o'clock Eastern window. And it was a bloodbath in the sense of injuries. It was almost uncomfortable at times how many injuries were taking place. And the news of these injuries, as the day has gone on, have gotten worse. Now we're hearing from these head coaches, and things are worse than anticipated. We got a board up there on VSiN. Look at this. Saquon Barkley, done for the year, torn ACL. Nick Bosa, 49ers edge rusher, done for the year, ACL. The next play in the 49ers game yesterday, after Nick Bosa gets carted off the field, Solomon Thomas goes out for the year with an ACL injury. Also in that game, Jimmy Garoppolo goes down with an injury. I have to see Nick Mullins come into the game. Raheem Mostert, who broke off an 80-yard touchdown run on the first play from scrimmage against the 49ers. He goes out with an injury. It was tough to watch for the 49ers, who are already dealing with George Kittle being out in that game. Richard Sherman lost for the year prior to the game. And the 49ers, they do get the win. And how bad are the Jets? I mean, that's going to be a spot. And the Jets right now getting 10 at Indianapolis in week 3. There's no doubt people are going to be willing to lay the lumber there. And that might be a spot, honestly, where you just hold your nose and say, I got to take the Jets. There's no real reason to back the Jets, but at 10 points, and if it goes up to 10.5, it could be a spot where you have to back the Jets, which does not feel great, but the Jets are just awful. I mean, they are a terrible football team right now. And the 49ers took care of business. And it was, as it has certainly been talked about throughout the day here on VSiN, I'm sure last night as well with JVT on opening lines. I mean, it was a square day. It was a great day to be a public bettor. It was not a great day for the books. Nick Bogdanovich from William Hill was on earlier this morning with Mitch and Paul, and you could almost hear the pain in his voice. I mean, it was a rough day. It happens every year. There are one or two of these days where just all the stars align and no big boy gets knocked off. If you include the Browns on Thursday night, as the Bengals got that backdoor cover covering the six, scored that late touchdown Joe Burrow into the end zone. But if you include that game, straight up, favorites 14-1. The only dog that won yesterday outright was a team that I was actually on the other side. I was on the Eagles. A lot of people are on the Eagles. That was one of the consensus picks at the Super Contest. The Eagles, they've got a whole mess of issues going on there in Philadelphia. That was a team that it looked like, oh, maybe they have a little bit of life, and then the Rams were able to smash them and win that game going away 37-19. So a big spot there for the Rams to win that game in Philadelphia. But it was a day for the favorites, and all those money line parlays, all those teasers. There were a lot of teasable numbers with the favorites. You know, the Chargers and Chiefs game went off 8.5. 8.5 was very available all throughout the week to tease that through 7, through 4, through 3, down to 2.5. And that was the one game. That was the one game all throughout the day that felt like, okay, this is the one that's going to blow all these up. And what happens? The Chiefs are able to drive down the field. Patrick Mahomes ties the game up at 20. And then Anthony Lynn, look, I know it's revisionist history. It's the Monday morning quarterback dude sitting in a VSiN chair. But when you're facing Patrick Mahomes, I don't care how much you trust your defense. And you know Butker is their kicker, who that guy has ice water through every vein in his body for what we saw yesterday. If you're Anthony Lynn, how do you not go for it on 4th-and-1 at the 34-yard line? It's overtime. You are playing with house money as the Chargers against the defending world champion Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, it is easy for all of us to say, but at 4th, it wasn't 4th-and-9. It was 4th-and-1 from your own 34-yard line. You've got Justin Herbert, who really, I thought, played very well yesterday. He's a big-body dude. He's running over defenders on the sideline. He's hurting Kansas City Chief linebackers. Sneak Justin Herbert, keep things alive. If you go down swinging, and who knows, we can't go in the DeLorean and go back in time and do that, but I think a lot more people would have been okay with the Chargers going for it. Be aggressive. Go for the jugular. Go for the win. Don't punt the ball to Patrick Mahomes. You knew what was going to happen. Now, the Chargers defense, to their credit, did a pretty good job, but Butker steps up and nails a 58-yarder, not once, but twice. He hit the 53-yarder, false start is called, hit the 53-yarder with ease. Nance and Romo are trying all they can to jinx this dude. The broadcaster jinx does not apply to Mr. Butker, because he was cool as a cucumber. Nails it from 58 yards. And with all of the issues we saw kicking-wise in week number one, the Chiefs have a guy that they say, no, we're good. 58, already did it once in this game. He'll do it again. And he did it twice. He looked upset, too, when Anthony Lynn called the timeout to freeze him. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs get the win. And a lot of people were very happy about that, no doubt. And then the Sunday Night Football. Russell Wilson is out of this world. And talking about Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson had another big day yesterday. You know, Russell Wilson, as it has been well documented, has never received a first place vote to win MVP. And right now, Russell Wilson is your favorite at 3-1 to win MVP. Now, it is not time, in my opinion, to be putting down money on Russell Wilson. The time was last week, 2 weeks ago, preseason. Now Russell Wilson is cooking. And this was the whole uproar about this offseason. Let Russ cook. Let's make this happen. We got the odds up on VSiN.com, courtesy of PointsBet. Russell Wilson now the favorite at 3-1. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson at 5-1. And Aaron Rodgers at 8-1. Kyler Murray's an interesting discussion there at 14-1. At 14-1, if the Arizona Cardinals go 10-6 and Kyler Murray continues to play like he has been playing. Yesterday against Washington, he was just toying with Washington. 26 of 38, a touchdown, ran for 67 yards, had two touchdowns on the ground. He's one of those guys right now to keep an eye on. Aaron Rodgers picked up where he left off last week. The Green Bay Packers have started the year with back-to-back 40-point performances. Down 14-3 against the Lions, they said, ah, we're good. Take care of them. They win it, running away 42-21. And the Packers, you know, if they hadn't wasted their first-round pick on Jordan Love, maybe they could have added someone they could have used in the part of this team. Because Aaron Rodgers doesn't look like he needs anybody to replace him in the near future right now. He is, and whether this was Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers, saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fire up Aaron Rodgers. We're going to trade up to go get Jordan Love. And this is nothing against Jordan Love. And Aaron Rodgers has said as much. And I defended Aaron Rodgers when he went on that podcast, I think it was on The Ringer, and talked about how, you know, the differences between myself and Jordan Love getting drafted, they didn't trade up to get me at 22. Brett Favre had been flirting with retirement for a couple of years, which is absolutely correct. Aaron Rodgers has not been. He's like, and we were one win away from the Super Bowl. Now, I understand that a lot of us believe that they were a bit of a fraudulent team. And coming into this year, I had question marks about the Green Bay Packers. And so far, they have covered with ease these first 2 weeks. And remember, Minnesota was the preseason favorite to win the NFC North. And they look like an absolute dumpster fire. There was a lot of sharp action heading into the Colts and Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. This was a line that moved, and Indianapolis went off as a 3.5-point favorite. The public thought that was too many points to be laying with the Colts. Phillip Rivers showed his age. They were without their tight end. They had to go to Mo Alie-Cox from VCU basketball fame. Jonathan Taylor was able to cook yesterday. Marlon Mack going out with an injury. I won't say it's a positive because you never want to see anyone be lost for the season. But it reminded Frank Reich, oh yeah, this guy rushed for over 2,000 yards last year in college football. We've got one of the best offensive lines in the league. Let's give the ball to Jonathan Taylor. We drafted him in the second round. We traded up to get him for a reason. Let's give him the ball. Let's not make our 40-year-old quarterback throw it 46 times again, which is what he did in week one. And the Vikings are just a mess. Their defense is a mess. Kirk Cousins looked absolutely putrid yesterday. 11 of 26 throwing three picks. You know, the Vikings are going to be one of those teams. What do you do with them moving forward? You know, the Minnesota Vikings, just looking ahead to next week, I think that opened Minnesota a pick at home against Tennessee, and it's now Tennessee laying 2.5. So Minnesota might be one of those teams. Now, it's not first to worst because the Packers won the division, but they were a playoff team last year, beat the Saints. And I have to imagine right now, there's no point for Minnesota, because the score in week one was deceiving for Minnesota. 43-34 was not the way that game played. That was a game completely dominated in week one by the Green Bay Packers in Minnesota. So I have to imagine right now, under a field goal, the public's going to be on Tennessee. They have completely dumped Minnesota. They're not worrying about the Minnesota Vikings. All their issues defensively up front, no Hunter, no Pierce, both opted out with the youth and inexperience at the cornerback positions. They're getting picked on, and offensively, maybe the loss of Stephon Diggs is more big than I thought, because Stephon Diggs had a monster game yesterday for the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen continues to play incredibly well. But the story of the day, no doubt, outside of the favorites winning, basically every money line parlay that came home, every teaser came home, because, you know, I mean, look, I played a teaser too. I took the Steelers, I teased them down, and it fit in the teaser number. Jeff Driscoll had to come in. I'm sitting here in studio. I see Drew Lock go down. I say, all right, this is in the bag. Pittsburgh's at home. Jeff Driscoll's coming in on a short week. There's no way that Jeff Driscoll took any reps with the ones. And Jeff Driscoll actually looked pretty good yesterday. But Denver, they're another one of those teams that are just dealing with a ton of injuries. The news coming out, he missed week one, Courtland Sutton. They still covered against the Tennessee Titans, thanks in large part to Steven Gostkowski missing four kicks. But Courtland Sutton now done for the year for the Denver Broncos. Drew Lock will be out a couple of weeks. Christian McCaffrey dealing with a high ankle sprain. So the injuries were a massive question mark. But I want to revisit Sunday Night Football. What does this mean for the Seattle Seahawks? And the NFC West, ladies and gentlemen, has a total of one. One loss through 2 weeks. Who's going to take that division? Tim Murray in for JVT. It's The Edge on VSiN. Football betting go this weekend. As you know, there's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this season. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll get Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting guide with NFL power ratings and consensus picks from our experts, 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows, the college football betting guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies, daily emails with best bets from all our shows, hosts, and guests. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on VSiN.com. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Tim Murray sitting in for Jonathan Von Tobel. It is The Edge here on VSiN. And we'll hit college football a little bit later on in this hour. Meteor week ahead for college football as the SEC does return. It wasn't the greatest weekend, but there are some takeaways to be had and some interesting tweets, I'll say, from college football teams. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the hour. But Sunday Night Football last night was spectacular, and the Seahawks and Patriots lived up to the billing. We have it up there going off at 5 most of the day. It was at 4.5, so right before kick, it goes at 5 at some spots. But I think the majority of people who played this game played it at 4 or 4.5. That's where the game was the majority of the week. And that's what made this game so unique, which was the way that it ended. Now, I know a lot of people have questions about the decision by the Seattle Seahawks on 3rd and 1 to go for the jugular, go deep downfield. Now, if you were a Patriots backer, you were pretty happy about that decision. I was surprised thinking about, you know, the way that you go for, you get to 3rd and 1. Chris Carson runs for, 6-7 yards on 1st down. Then he slides down in bounds, which once again was right before the 2-minute warning. So it didn't, I mean, he did the right thing in the sense of staying in bounds and getting to the 2-minute warning, but he didn't fight for more yards. Then they get a short pass, or they get Carson again to the 1, and then they went deep to Tyler Lockett on 3rd and 1. So we've seen a couple short yardage decisions ultimately fail. There were some criticism, and rightfully so, for Bill Belichick and the clock management down the stretch, not using his timeouts. But Aaron Oster, our producer, he was at the Westgate Superbook last night. I was with him for the first half. I went home, watched the end of the game from home. And Aaron, I got to imagine, last night, it's 35-30. Like I said, the majority of people either had 4, 4.5. Now, I'm sure there were some moneyline parlays and all that stuff, teasers, etc. But if you played this game straight up in a high-profile Sunday night football game, you probably were playing this game at 4 or 4.5. Whether you're on the Patriots or the Seahawks, there's 2 seconds to go. Cam Newton has proven to be the battering ram that he has been for a long, long time in this game. They go shotgun, which I know some people were upset about. I tend to agree with that as well. So what was the scene? Set it for us, Aaron. What was the scene like at the Westgate Superbook last night? 2 seconds to go. Seahawks, Patriots, Cam Newton, and shotgun. It's man versus man. And the win, the spread, everything was on the line.
Yeah, it was pretty great. You had pretty much everybody in the book standing up, starting to edge towards the windows, edge towards that ticket line. Then as it happened, everybody, you know, you had that mix of cheer and boos. I saw some tickets being thrown up in the air and then a mad dash to the ticket windows for probably about 2/3, as the Seahawks were definitely the trendy side there.
Yeah, so the Seahawks get the win. It was once again, you can question the play call. Collier, the kid out of TCU, comes in. He makes the play, upends Cam Newton. He flips over. But, you know, Cam Newton looked good. And certainly we can discuss the Patriots moving forward. They have impressed me. They impressed me much more yesterday than they did against the Dolphins. But I want to pull up the NFC odds, and maybe this is something we could talk about on the other side as well, because the NFC odds right now are so intriguing. When you think about the AFC, guys, it's Chiefs, it's Ravens. Who else? Who else can win the AFC? Now, we tend to do that. It's only 2 weeks into the season. But look at those odds, and we're going to go to break on those odds, and we're going to bring it back, and we're going to talk about them, because the Saints are 4-1. They play tonight, of course. Then you have the Seahawks at 550, Niners at plus 650, Cowboys, Bucks at plus 750, and the Packers at 8-1. How about the Cardinals at 10-1? Who is an intriguing play for the NFC Championship? Because the NFC, to me, is wide open. We'll discuss it on the other side. Tim Murray in for JVT on The Edge on VSiN. Indeed helps you find the high-impact hire your business needs fast. You'll find lots of great candidates and no long-term contracts at Indeed.com/high-impact. Tim Murray sitting in for JVT. It is The Edge every weekday here on VSiN and SiriusXM 204 from 1 to 3 Eastern. And feeling good sitting in for JVT. Busy man last night, working late night, opening lines. So I'll be sitting in most Mondays for JVT in this spot. And, you know, just tons to unpack. We haven't even gotten to Dan Quinn and the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, unbelievable. The stat that I'm going to say that you may have heard already about yesterday's Atlanta Falcons debacle is incredible. But let's get back to where we left off, which was last night's Seahawks and Patriots game. We're talking to Steph during the break, resident Patriot fan here. You okay with that call? No! Throw the ball! Quarterback sneak! It had worked earlier in the game. By the way, was that second quarter when Cam initially looked to get in and then went to go celebrate? Quickly runs back to the line of scrimmage, and they still score with 1 second left on the play clock. But Belichick had to be thinking, like, oh, man. He was so – but he also threw the challenge flag, and the refs didn't see it. It was a great job by Michelle Tafoya and the Sunday Night Football crew seeing that Belichick had thrown the challenge flag on that particular play, because it did look like Cam was in, and he scores on the next play. Everybody knew that Cam was going to – try to bring it in, go into the end zone in shotgun. Once again, like the Anthony Lynn decision, right? In the Chargers game, not going it for 4th-and-1. It's the beauty of football. Doesn't it feel great, though, about the fact that we get the Monday morning quarterback this stuff? Because we didn't know where we were going to be. We didn't know if we were going to have football. And just the normalcy of yesterday, going to Aaron and talking about, you know, what the feel was like in the book. He was there, too, when the Chiefs were kicking their 58-yard field goal, not once, not twice, but thrice, and nailed all of them. It is nice, you know, stepping out of the booth after betting across America on Sundays, looking at the crowd, everybody going crazy, Cowboy fans losing their minds. So it's beautiful. Today is going to be great. Yes, we certainly wish there would be fans at Allegiant Stadium, but there's no doubt the excitement in this town, in Las Vegas, is going to be through the roof for this Raiders and Saints game. On an island by itself, yes, there's a Stanley Cup game tonight, but the handle, I imagine, is going to be spectacular. And I mentioned right before coming on the air, the line has now dropped. Wow. The line for the Saints-Raiders game, I'm looking at it right now, has just dropped to 3.5 at the Westgate Superbook. About an hour ago, it was 5.5. So it has gone to 3.5 now at the Westgate Superbook. It was 6 earlier in the week. But last night, Seahawks and Patriots. Quick word on the Patriots before we get to the Seahawks. I didn't ultimately play this game. I thought about laying it with the Seahawks. I stayed away. I didn't play this game. But I was not thoroughly impressed week one by the Patriots. You know, you're playing the Dolphins. They're inept offensively. There's no more magic in Ryan Fitzpatrick. He throws 3 picks, including 1 in the end zone. Cam Newton runs 15 times for 75 yards. That's just it's not sustainable. But last night, if you're a Patriots fan, like Steph, you have to be encouraged about maybe not winning the division. I don't think they're the most talented team, but I was encouraged by the precision from Cam Newton. He was firing BBs all over the field. His arm was alive. Last night, he looked very good. He's still got that hop in his step to run. I mean, every time it felt like the Patriots had him dead to rights the Seahawks had him dead to rights in the backfield, he was breaking off tacklers, keeping plays alive, doing the Cam MVP stuff we saw in 2015. So if you're a Patriots fan, are you discouraged you lost? Are you discouraged that the final play? Sure, could have won that game very easily. But that all being said, in a season where it felt like in July, where you were getting all of these words out of Foxborough, oh, yeah, we like Jarrett Stidham. No, you don't. You do not like Jarrett Stidham. You don't believe that you can win with Jarrett Stidham. And then Bill Belichick goes out and gets, what, 1.1 base salary for Cam Newton with some incentives? I mean, that deal already, just 2 games in, that deal is already worth every single penny. So the Patriots, you have to be encouraged by. But Russell Wilson, we talked about MVP, and now he's the favorite at points bet 3-1 to win MVP. I'd stay away from that. But this is a Seahawks team that wide receiver-wise, it was just a lot of guys, you know, whatever. Tyler Lockett and who? Who else is Russell Wilson going to throw to? He has to do the Houdini act at the end of the game. DK Metcalf is starting to emerge as a stud. I mean, the touchdown pass from Russell Wilson to DK Metcalf in the second quarter was one of the most beautiful things that you'll see in a football game. Just dropped it right there in the bucket. Metcalf beat Stephon Gilmore, your reigning defensive player of the year, and brings that in for a gorgeous touchdown. I mean, this Seahawks team, in addition to one of the best, if not the best, because I think we all still agree that Patrick Mahomes is number one, but Russell Wilson is playing at an absurd level right now, and let's pull up those NFC odds. Who's going to win the NFC? Because right now, to me, I think the Seahawks might be a decent bet at plus 550 at points bet. We'll see what the Saints have tonight. I have significant questions about Drew Brees, his arm strength. Michael Thomas obviously will be back at some point in time. You know, Alvin Kamara, I love the signing of Emmanuel Sanders. But for the Seahawks at plus 550, the 49ers dealing with all those injuries, to me, at plus 650, no thanks. Cowboys, with Mike McCarthy there, I know they got a miracle win, no thanks. Buccaneers, a lot of questions there, no thanks. I mean, the Cardinals honestly have some intrigue to me at 10-1. But I think right now, the Seattle Seahawks certainly have some question marks defensively that they have to clean up. And everyone's dealing with health issues. But with Metcalf, with Tyler Lockett, with Chris Carson, with Carlos Hyde, I mean, that two-headed beast in the backfield, they've got dudes all over the place. And, oh, yeah, they don't have to play the Chiefs to win the NFC. So a plus 550 at points bet, I like the Seahawks right now to win the NFC at 11-2. We'll get back to the NFL top of the hour. But up next, what did Boston College tweet over the weekend? Yeah, we'll get to that here on The Edge. Odds boosts, bonus cash, profit boosts. Bet Rivers Sportsbook has them all. Bet Rivers gives rewards with every bet, and you get to use your bonuses when you want to use them, not when they tell you to. And when you want to use your bonus cash, you don't have to play it through 50 times to convert that bonus into real cash. One-time playthrough is hard to beat, and you've got it at Bet Rivers. Plus, Bet Rivers is gluten-free, nut-free, and there's no MSG ever guaranteed. What are you waiting for? Go to BetRivers Sportsbook and start earning your rewards today. Sign up now and get up to a $250 match on your first deposit. All bonuses are a one-time playthrough. There's no faster way to turn your bonus cash into real cash. Visit BetRivers Sportsbook today. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT, or in Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey at Play Sugar House. It is The Edge here on VSiN. Tim Murray sitting in for JVT. He'll be back tomorrow. He's a busy man over the weekend, so we gave him today off. So I'm filling his spot today. And this weekend, let's just be honest, you and me right here, it wasn't the sexiest college football slate ever. You know, Notre Dame played USF, 152-0. Clemson played the Citadel, 149-0. They were up 49-0 at. I believe I saw at one point in time, the live line in different spots was north of 70 points. Yeah. So, yeah, not the greatest weekend, but still it was college football. And I sat back and enjoyed it. And oh, how far we have come. You know, think about this. Yesterday, betting across America here on VSiN, my partner in crime, James Salinas, out there in Denver, he was at in Power Field. Yeah, he was inside an NFL stadium, the first ever gambling show live inside an NFL stadium. That's where we have come. Colorado, the Buffaloes, they have a partnership with PointsBet. And an NCAA team has a partnership with PointsBet. So that brings me to this tweet from what I saw over the weekend. Boston College played Duke. Boston College beat Duke 26-6. And Boston College's football Twitter handle, at BC Football, tweeted out, plus six, LOL. And it has not been deleted. It's still there. We have a college football team recognizing the point spread and the fact that they covered and they put LOL. I love it. This is wonderful. This is where we have come. And Boston College, props to you. This made my weekend seeing this on Saturday night. Plus six, LOL. And you know what? The Jeff Tedford era has gotten off to a good start there. So, excuse me, Jeff Hafley era has gotten off to a good start there for Boston College. I was on Duke early. It was one of those plays, and look, we give out our plays. We make picks in Point Spread Weekly, vsin.com/subscribe. You get Point Spread Weekly for great analysis like Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds, Steve Macklin. And then you get random dudes like me picking college football games. I had a good first week, and then early on in the week, I liked Duke. I said, I have questions about Boston College. We'll see what happens with them. Jeff Hafley's never been a head coach before. Phil Jurkovec has not started a football game since high school. I like Duke here. Then as the week went on, started to see that number go the other direction. I said, I don't like Duke anymore. I want off this game. I did like the under, so the under went very under. But Boston College, to their credit, looked pretty good, especially in the second half, but also acknowledging the fact that they were six-point dogs. They were, Boston College, if we're going to start going down this road, you got to know the final number, though, okay? You guys went off. There was sharp money on you guys. So give some props to the sharps there. Boston College, though, took care of business. Duke could be in some trouble. They are not a good offensive team. David Cutcliffe has taken over play calling down there, and they have scored 19 points so far this season. Granted, week one against Notre Dame. That's why I was basing off that. Notre Dame looked a bit sluggish. The first half was ugly, and that's why the underplay I thought was a good one. I got it at 52. It went off around 49.5. But Boston College is going to be an interesting team to keep an eye on moving forward. But, the marquee matchup of the weekend was an ACC showdown, and it was Miami against Louisville. And this was another line that was dancing a lot all throughout the weekend. Louisville opened up as a 2.5-point favorite at home. They had played the week before. They had beaten Western Kentucky. Miami played the week prior, beat UAB. And that was, to me, not an overly exciting performance from the Hurricanes in week one against UAB. But that line went through zero all the way to the other side. 5-point swing on that line, and Miami took care of business. Miami's going to be an exciting team. Mark your calendars right now, because now we're starting to get into some good games. Now the meat is coming around on that bone. We got SEC teams this weekend back in action. We know Big Ten's coming down the road. But October 10th, Miami plays Clemson. Now, the Miami-Florida State game, well, that doesn't look as appealing as maybe it once did. Mike Norvell has COVID. He will not be on the sidelines this Saturday as Miami and Florida State play. But this Florida State offense, they go out, they get Rhett Lashley to be their offensive coordinator. They want to play up-tempo. And De'Aaron King looked the part on Saturday. De'Aaron King had buzz going into 2019 at Houston. They start 1-3. He decides to opt out of the season. He wants the red shirt. He says he's going to stay at Houston. Nobody believed him. And he ultimately lands at Miami. And De'Aaron King, 18 of 30, 3 touchdowns. Cameron Harris was running all over the place. I don't know what the Louisville linebackers are doing. Louisville's defense moving forward. I mean, this is something Louisville, bringing in Scott Satterfield, they had some solid performances. This weekend, Louisville visits Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh's got a very strong defense. And that's why their total last weekend against Syracuse was all out of whack. Laying 21. Pittsburgh, I don't think, has the capabilities outside of playing Austin Peay, which we saw in week one, to blow ACC opponents out. But that's an intriguing game to me. A noon Eastern kick. Pittsburgh is now laying 3, depending on where you look, 2.5. The college football numbers will start trickling out as the week goes. But, you just look up and down. Yeah, UCF, I thought they looked very solid. Georgia Tech had some backing week one after they beat Florida State outright. And UCF, this is a team that the matchup when they face Cincinnati later on in the season, that's going to be one that's really important. And thinking about how this year unfolds, I am hopeful, I'm not optimistic, but I'm hopeful. And I heard David Pollack say this on College Game Day. With the wackiness of this year, right? We've got the Big Ten playing all conference games, the SEC playing all conference games, the ACC, let's be honest, really playing all conference games. Clemson's non-conference battle was against the Citadel. Notre Dame played USF, who is just a complete mess. There are real no challenging opponents in the non-conference. Now, don't tell the Big 12 that. They've lost a couple games to the Sun Belt. Texas Tech almost lost to Houston Baptist. So the Big 12, yeah, your non-conference is a little trickier. I got you. But it would be nice in this year of bizarre land, just expand it. I am not a proponent, honestly. I am not a big expand it to eight guy. I think with the non-conference schedule each and every year, we could kind of weed out other teams and look at how the fourth seed has done over years. It's not that well outside of Alabama in the first year winning the national championship. But I think this is a year. Let's try it. Let's go. Let's give it a shot. So Miami taking on Florida State this week. Miami this week opened up at 9.5. It's now 11 in some spots. So that's the Saturday night game. I bet you the public's going to lay the points with Miami there. I really do. Miami looked good, looked the part. Florida State looked complete mess. And their coach won't be coaching them on the sidelines. He won't be coaching them this week. Mike Norvell has COVID. So, I mean, that's something to certainly keep an eye on. But I am now, I wouldn't say I'm all in on Miami. I'm not. I still think they have questions defensively. I'm not saying they're going to beat Clemson on October 10th. But my biggest takeaway from a pretty lackluster weekend was Miami's pretty good. And Marshall, I give them credit. I was on App State. I laid the 4 with App State. App State's offense looked inept against Marshall. A lot of credit to Marshall. You know, they opened up the year against Eastern Kentucky, winning 59-0. I mean, what can you take from that? What you should have taken from it, or I should have taken, was that Marshall's defense is pretty good. They were able to bottle up Peoples and Harrington in the backfield. Both of those guys rushed for over 100 yards the previous week for App State. So a big win for Marshall. But, you know, moving forward, and as this week goes on, the SEC is back. Florida, Mississippi. We get the Mike Leach era beginning. We got some Big 12 showdowns. You know, what is Kansas State going to look like after their embarrassing loss to Arkansas State? They got Oklahoma this week. So we really have some tasty matchups. Kentucky and Auburn could be a lot of points in that game. So it's really been a nice appetizer. We've tasted a little bit. We've had a couple games, decent primetime games. Had Navy coming back. How about that? Navy, real quick as we go to break. Navy in the first six quarters this year, and I grabbed it at 7.5. I thought I might as well just burn that ticket. Navy had been outscored 79-3 in the first six quarters of the year. And what did they do? On the road at Tulane in the rain? Yeah, they won the game, 27-24, game-winning field goal. So props to you, Navy. Way to make me look smart. We'll get back to the NFL next. It's The Edge here on VSiN.